The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory
to you, O Lord. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat. Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I am finished.' Is he grateful to that servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we were obliged to do.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, just a few closing remarks. First, thanks to my two brother priests to my left. Great work in the confessional. Many women, it's just good to have you, and you are unprofitable servants, according to the Bible. That's what Jesus said, Father Rich. Now get me something to eat. That's what the Bible said. Father Darren will fly back. He's out in Wichita, and he's the chaplain, I guess, at a retreat house, so always makes his way out. So if you're ever out there in Wichita, which I highly doubt any of you will be, look up my friend Father Darren. So one person grabbed me after the Mass and said, about a little bit more about the ministry to moms and dads who have had babies miscarried. There is the reality that healing through this whole baby miscarriage reverberates in heaven, in the heavens, and in those around you. So, I want to help you realize that if you were struck by the cross, and it's quite striking, okay? We did a little retreat day, as I told you, with 30 women, and we had like 80, 90 candles. So we just figured that would be the equal amount. But the point is, I think that it doesn't stop there. And so where I am or where the Holy Spirit's leading me, we're having retreat for adult children of divorce. We did something for miscarriages, babies miscarried, and moms and dads with fertility issues. Please check the website. I have space on some of those. And I'd like to do something for babies miscarried again next semester. But you got to come, because I plan these things. And then people say, "Well, I didn't know about it." Well, you get it via email or Flock Note or whatever. But we can't simply just let the children sort of not be part of our lives. They're part of the church. They're part of the heart of God. So therefore, they're part of your life. So St. Paul is talking today to new Christians. Now, this is a perfect second reading for you. Stir into flame the gift of God that you had through the imposition of hands. Some of you may have had an awakening last night with the encounter in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and then the anointing with the holy oil, and then the priestly hands. Okay? That needs to be stirred. That needs to be awakened. God is moving in those encounters. Practically speaking, notice what St. Paul then says. He says, gives them an exhortation. Be stirred, like stir that into a flame. And then he says, but this is what God didn't give you, a spirit of cowardness. And how many of us, there's that cowardly fear, which is, first of all, probably rooted in doubt. And part of it can be rooted in your wounds. But that's where the cowardice comes in. Right? Some of us, we don't do something because we did it one time and we did a rotten job at it. You say, "I'm no good at making that or doing this." So you don't even try. Look at the effect of that. It's created a fear, an anxiety, and in effect, then you become self-conscious there. So St. Paul, first of all, reminds you that there's an active role that each of you now plays in going forth from here with clear resolutions. Number two, it's not a spirit of doubt. It's a spirit of confidence in the abiding presence of God. God is bigger than you. He will reveal to you in time, in His time, what He wishes. But in effect, what needs to happen is that then you understand. It says, but rather power, love, and self-control. First, self-control. In order to know God's will, you have to be really interior together, interiorly rooted. You can't just be all over the place. So I want to talk about something called like emotion, like this interior emotional regulation. Like, calm it down interiorly. You have got to remain capable of listening. And so you may present as a flaccid sea, like nothing going on, but interiorly, you're all over the place. Why? What's happening in there? You have to make an active effort. I know God doesn't want this interior turbulence. How can I discern what God wants? I get it. Sometimes it comes out of nowhere, okay? But what's helped me when I have a really busy day is I wake up and I say, well, I got no choice, right? Time isn't stopping. Like, I can't call time out and then go from Saturday to Monday. It just doesn't work like that. So consciously being aware of what is it in the day that's causing the anxiety. Oh, and then you can move forward saying, Jesus, I need you to be in that place. Lord, I trust that you are there. Come with me. Go before me. But one thing I've noticed is when there's something going on and it's a worry and anxiety and you say, well, it's identified it as something, then bring that specifically to Christ and give Christ permission to go into that worry or that meeting or that doctor's appointment or whatever. Okay, so that's self-control. Secondly, the spirit of love is then connected to what is the word there is agape, the spirit of sacrifice, the spirit of forgiveness. So St. Paul is saying that there's a renewal and awakening, but that comes with an interior emotional regulation, self-control. Secondly, a spirit of sacrifice. The power that St. Paul is talking about is not, you know, exterior authority, but it comes with it how Christ spoke in the scriptures. What St. Paul, the word that he used is when Christ spoke with authority, and they're like, who is this guy? And he spoke with authority. The power there is the ability to speak with authority, not authoritarian, but confident how you're speaking. Confident in being able to say, you know, Lord, I speak freely of the good things that you've done in my life. Okay? So that's the awakening. Last 2 points from the scripture is that the gift of faith, as you know, was given at your baptism, right? So you were given the faith. I don't think I have the faith to tell a tree to go plant in the sea, right? But it doesn't mean that I don't have faith. Okay? But I would like to say this. I know that there are times when I lack faith, and I have to ask God for an increase in faith in those times. Right? That means that sometimes if you have something coming up, if something's going on in your life, you really can say, Lord, increase my faith. It's a beautiful statement. Lord, increase my faith. In effect, what happens is when I don't increase, ask the Lord to increase my faith, I become very self-conscious that I've got to do it. So the contrary, the contradiction of not increasing in faith, which is in God, is I put more confidence and trust in myself. And that's why I spin out of control, because I try to do it. So faith is an awareness that God is doing it with you. But if I know that I'm, wow, this is a lot, Lord, I actually have to ask for faith. Because otherwise, I'm going to go into the thought that I can do it. And then that creates even a greater anxiety. Okay, so if there's something in your life where you're like, wow, this is a little overwhelming, or really overwhelming, okay, Lord, increase my faith. As I journey forward, as I go to the dock, as I work through this situation, the Lord will increase it. And sometimes it's even with kids. There's a reality that, I mean, the only parallel I have is in my own life. You know, I didn't have the ability to do what I do now, whatever that is. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's not much. But the point is that I didn't have it when I was newly ordained. Like, it might have been dormant, and it might have been in seeds, these little seeds in the depth of my heart. I don't know. But as I progressed, as I've trusted more in God, then God has opened it up. I think a lot of times 21 years ago when I thought, oh, let's have a retreat at Our Lady of Mattapani, there were 20 women. I mean, we were just kind of finding our way through it. Well, I didn't have any idea. I didn't even know what Malvern was. I think a lot of times you have to examine, what is God asking me in this moment now? It's very, very powerful. Very liberating. And all you have to do then is cooperate with the now. That's what I've learned even when we started going to Mustard Seed in Jamaica. Like, I went down there. I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just down there for 3 weeks walking around. See, yeah, this is a great idea. I come back. I talk about it. Next thing you know, it's happening. I couldn't imagine. But when I can imagine, then that's me. Like, I have an inspiration. It says, okay, Lord, I think you're asking this, and I think this is what's going to happen. I just want to kind of help you realize, like, don't go into the let me see what it looks mode and let me get the letterhead that said Mustard Seed Trip. Like, relax. You have to just settle, and then God will open it in time. It's just like through a sickness or a trial. Sometimes when folks get sick, they're like, they put themselves in a coffin. Relax. Live in the moment. Right? And then you can live presently. So the point of this is, increase my faith, Lord. Increase my faith. And thirdly is, now you are servants of the Most High God. Now, when you have been given in the depth of love, now you're an authentic servant. Now you can say, Lord, what do you want me to do? It's so beautiful when you can actually say that unhesitatingly, but confident that God isn't going to strike back at you because you were rotten in second grade or 10th grade. That's not it. Confident that God is present to you, and yeah, you may suffer, you may struggle. Fine, that's DNA of the wound. That may be God's love for you to detach you from your will. Remember, all sin is my will over God's will. I want what I want, and I want it. And so when I sin, I'm wanting my will. I don't think of it that way. I just want sin. But one of the things that you will begin to do is, Lord, I want to be your instrument. Lord, I want to be someone that you are using for his greater glory. So as we celebrate the Mass, those are the kind of the 3 points. Stirring into the flame by the imposition, the Eucharist last night, and it's not to be cowardly. It has to be joyfully, freely. For some of you, that may just be smiling. Like, just being joyful. It's a lot easier to be cowardly and defensive than it is to be joyful and free. So, and then you take the three words, self-control, interior regulation, emotionally calm the storm. Two, the love is agape. That's the word he used, sacrificial. And number three, power is not authoritarian, but speaking with authority. It's like, you know, like I used last night, the arrow to the heart. You know, I speak to my kid, but I don't come in as like authority, authority, authority. But I speak with love, and it goes into the heart because that's the grace of the Spirit. The Spirit will move it through the layers of their pride or whatever. And then the point two is just beginning to think about asking actually the Lord for faith. Lord, give me faith. Give me faith in this moment of whatever it is. Okay? Faith for the moment, not faith for, you know, 10 days later or 3 weeks later. Again, calming the anxiety. And finally, just how do I become a servant? After you have been loved. When you have been loved, you can then be a servant. So let us celebrate the Mass with this great conviction in our hearts that this is where God has you. Thank you, Lord, for stirring into flame the gift of your love.